all the wonders when I enter that city. There forever to be safe in his fold. Some morning you'll find me touring that city where the Son of God is the light. You'll find me there on the street so pretty, made of gold so pure and so bright, with Jesus the one who gave me the victory, who led me across the divide. Some morning you'll find me touring that city where with him I will ever abide. Here on earth we have troubles that to us seem so heavy, but in heaven no one will be sad. Mom and Dad will be singing, heaven's praise will be ringing for the dearest friend I ever had. Some morning you'll find me touring that city where the Son of God is the light. You'll find me there on the street so pretty, made of gold so pure and so bright, with Jesus the one who gave me the victory, who led me across the divide. Some morning you'll find me touring that city where with him I will ever abide. Some morning you'll find me touring that city where the Son of God is the light. You'll find me there on the street so pretty, made with gold so pure and so bright, with Jesus the one who gave me the victory, who led me across the divide. Some morning you'll find me touring that city where with him I will ever abide. Where with him I will ever
Thank you, Brother Combs. That was good. And pray for Brother Combs as he's in high gear. The academy starts up in about 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. And he's in high gear, getting everything in place. So just pray for him. And I know our college will start September 5th on Tuesday, so that's coming up pretty soon. But church, I want to thank you. Thank you for praying for my family, especially my wife. Many answered prayer the last few months. And I appreciate the cards, ladies that have taken time to write a card and send it to my wife. We really, really appreciate it. We feel God's power, His strength, and Sherry's having a pretty tough week, but she doesn't complain. She's not worried about it. And we know how Janine Jones, the Joneses, get by, and we know how Salvador can come to his service and smile, and we understand that. We know how Mrs. Barnett survived cancer. It's by God's grace, and God's people praying. Don't stop praying. Pray for Mrs. Howe. I spoke to Brother Howe this morning. And what my wife has is just a small scale compared to what Mrs. Howe is going through. So pray for her. Mrs. Howe, if you don't know, is the wife of Brother Bill Howe, pastor of Friendly Lane Baptist Church in Haltom City. So they would just covet your prayers and need them. It was hot today. So hot I bought some frozen corny dogs at Sam's, and they were cooked by the time I got back in the truck. I tell you what, I trimmed trees for 4 years, and I don't remember a day this hot. 105 today, 106. So I'm kind of glad to be inside a little bit and feel for those of you that work outside. Your skin is a bright red, and you're glowing. You're sitting there tonight, just can't believe it's only 75 in here, not 105. So I thank you for being here. I thank you for being here. And I hope you're praying for the Jews. Hope you're praying for the Jews. We're commanded in the Bible to pray for the Jews in Psalm 122:6. And the Bible says, I will bless them that bless thee. And I'm glad our president is behind the Jews, at least at this point, and he's not calling for all this garbage the UN wants to try that's never worked. But I like what's happening so far. The Jews are taking care of some business. And they need to continue that. Find in your place Romans chapter 6 and Galatians chapter 2. Romans chapter 6, we're going to spend a lot of time there tonight. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul asks a question, and I'd ask that you would stand As we begin looking in Romans chapter 6 first, Paul asks a question in verse 2. We'll begin with verse 1. In fact, all three verses contain questions. Now, Paul is very logical in the book of Romans. And he lays it out. He talks in chapter 1 of God's condemnation against sin, the wrath of God. In chapter 2, he brings the Jew and the Gentile and tells us we're all alike. Chapter 3 speaks of sin. Chapter 4, in the book of Romans, he begins to talk about our justification by faith. Amen? And not by the law. Chapter 5, he tells us that Jesus Christ came to reconcile our sin account. And by the time he's to chapter 6, he's into the Christian life. He's into where we're at tonight. And I'm preaching to mostly Christians tonight. If you're not a Christian, tonight's the night to get saved, to come forward at invitation and accept Christ as your Savior. But mostly to Christians tonight, chapter 6 is for you. It's about sanctification. We're justified. And that's taken place in Christ when we accepted Him as Savior. But now, we need to be sanctified daily and grow in grace. And that's where we're at. But look at Romans chapter 6. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" The question I ask you, how shall we that are dead to sin, already died to something, live therein and still choose to sin if we're already dead to it? Now Galatians chapter 2, and you probably figured out we're going to verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. A very perplexing verse, but it's how Paul lived his life. It's how Paul found victory. He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." That's a lot. And if we just stop on this hot Wednesday night and realize what we have in Christ, gave Himself for us, we've already been crucified with Him. Amen. To settle our sin account. And now we can live through Him. That's an incredible thought. And I want to preach to you a message entitled, "Don't Yield to a Dead Man." Hey, don't yield to a dead man. What are we thinking? Death isn't pretty. Sin is ugly. I've never seen a pretty dead body. I don't like death. But we'll live to the dead man over and over again. Paul says, "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Why continue in sin? Why be servants? Why yield our members unto unrighteousness, unto sin, unto death?" Hey, that's already taken place. What's taken place on Calvary was for our sin, but yet we'll live in our sin. But let's pray, then I'm going to preach, "Don't yield to a dead man." Don't yield to a dead man. That dead man is you, by the way, your old nature, and we'll get into that. Father, I just pray for your power now. And Lord, I'm excited about this message. It's helped me so much in my Christian life. And I just pray, Lord, through your power that you give, the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, you'll help these dear people. Lord, some will be hearing this for the first time, new Christians. Many will already know this concept of the old man and the new man, but God, it will help us so much if you just impress upon us the war we're in and how to find victory. Lord, I pray if there's any lost here, they would get saved. And Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, you move among us, help us stay alert, and receive from the Word of God what you'd have for us tonight. Praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, when I was saved, I began to wonder some things. I got saved at age 23. And by the grace of God, I wish I'd got saved at age 4, age 5, but I didn't. That's my only regret, that I didn't get saved earlier. When I got saved, I started to hear things. I started attending church. I heard that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And boy, that really caught me. I got saved, but I didn't become a new creature. I really didn't know what that meant. How could I become a new creature? I was still Cliff Donnelly. Then I found out I was purchased with a price. For ye are bought with a price. Wait a minute. I didn't know there was a transaction that took place for me. I know now. It was Calvary. I didn't understand these things. I started putting them together. I then found out that I sit together in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Did you wonder about that after being saved? I don't sit exactly together with Christ in heavenly places. But yet that's what the Word of God said, and I trusted the Word of God and still do. Every jot and tittle in it. Well, other things. I found out that Paul said, "I die daily." And I certainly didn't die daily. And I haven't died daily, at least in my mind after I got saved. I think of death as the heartbeat stops and it's over. So these things began to turn and toss in my mind. I found out in Galatians 2:19 that I am dead to the law. Wait a minute. I thought I was supposed to follow the law. That's what God gives us, the Bible, right? So we can follow it. But wait a minute. I'm dead to it. I've died to it. And in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Hey, I was thoroughly confused after a few of these verses, and you were too. How can I be crucified with Christ? I'm up here standing and living, breathing. I don't understand that. I started to discover something, and you did too. A battle going on, a continual battle after salvation. The Spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I am the child of God. And that became real. All of a sudden I found, as Paul did, you know, in chapter 7, the things that he should do, he wouldn't, because there's a force fighting against him. The things he didn't do, there's a force saying you should do them. The old nature and the new nature. All of a sudden there were two Cliff Donnellys. I didn't know how to handle that. I couldn't handle one. I didn't like the one. But there were two. 1 Corinthians 15:44, there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. I had to digest that and understand that. Paul sums it up great in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Look over one chapter if you would. And this will shed some light on this. If you're confused, if you're a new Christian again, this is something you've got to grasp a hold of. Visiting with Brother Sam Reed yesterday, he said it's pivotal in the Christian life to get a hold of the old man versus the new man and be reminded. And be reminded, because we'll get down and discouraged why we can't do right and why the propensity to do wrong and we yield and do wrong. It's just pivotal that we understand this and we're preached it and see it over and over again. By the way, what did Paul spend a lot of time speaking on? That old man and that new man and the battle he fought and how he died daily and was crucified. Romans 7, 18 and 19, he said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Paul, one of the greatest Christians ever, said, "But the evil which I would not, that I do." He understood he had an old man that he had to crucify daily, that had to have a death. He understood that. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." We're in a battle. And these are contrary to the one and the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Let me give you an example. Been saved going on 13 years now. Before I was saved, I went to the horse races. Should never have gone to the horse races in Louisiana. Here's what would happen. If I was coerced and I wouldn't do this, Brother Robert, I'd be fired. But if I snuck out to Bossier City and went to the horse races, here's what would happen. I'd walk in there, and you know what? Warfare would begin. Warfare! Before I even step in that place, warfare would begin. My spirit would say, "You don't belong there. You're a child of God." You know what the old man would say? "You've been there before. It was fun, wasn't it? Get back in there. No one's going to see you." And the warfare would start. And I'd go in and I'd hear the bad music. And it would tip me. And I'd like it. And you would too. You would too. Any of you that have been saved later in life, you would too. You'd even remember the lyrics. The devil would make sure of it. And this war would be going on. And I'd be battling and just be tearing me up inside. But I'd see the mixed drinks and the people having fun. I'd remember those days. The old man would remind me of them. He does a good job of it. Why? Well, what else? Well, I'd see someone win a bet and see all that cash they bring back. And you know what? My old man might just win over. That's why I'll stay away from those places. Where I'm going with this message, I will yield my members to righteousness. Stay away from those places. Don't give place to the flesh. Don't make provision for the flesh. Starve the flesh. Die to the flesh. That's where we're going. Here's the thought. We've already died once. You've already had a funeral. Yes, you have. Christ didn't die for himself. He wasn't placed on the cross for himself. The Jews, the Roman guards, they thought, well, he's convicted of some sin. They couldn't name it because he was sinless. They looked up and saw him dying a death they thought he deserved. He did it for you. And he did it for me. And he did it for those Jews and those Romans that put him on the cross. We've already died. We've already had a death. We've already had a burial. You hear people say one death. You live once, you die twice, you live twice, you whatever. We've already had a death on Calvary, every one of you. If you're lost, you've already had a death. Your sin debt has been paid for. Complete. He said, "It is finished. It's over." Your debt's been paid. You've had a funeral. But why don't we live like that? Why do we resurrect the old man daily and let him control us and let him rule us? Why? Paul said, how shall we that are dead to sin, if we're dead to something, it shouldn't live? Yet we give it life. We pump life back into it in the morning. We start our day. If we don't get filled with the Spirit and put on Christ, guess what? Paul, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in? Well, we nurse it and we live to it. The problem is we don't live like our old man is completely dead. We live like we had a partial baptism. We live like we got a little bit under the water, but not all the way. Oh, we died to some of our sins, but we're living like we never went underwater all the way. That we completely died to our sinful life, and we're not completely living in the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. Now, if you follow Paul's logic, remember chapter 6, he's now talking about sanctification, where you and I are at, and how to live our daily lives. And this old nature versus new nature. Every one of you has it that's been born again. If you haven't been born again, you're in the old man. These things are not going to be discernible to you tonight. You need to be saved and have that new man. Have the Spirit of God enter you and accept Christ. I want you to look in chapter 6 as a way of introduction. Let me give you a few things here. Look at the logic Paul uses. Paul lays this thing out. Look in verse number 3. He says, no. I want you to look at all the no's here. Maybe circle it in your Bible. Verse 3, he says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were placed with Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Question. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that, get this word, like, as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Your baptism, a picture of what's already transpired. Christ dying completely and rising from the dead. That's what happened in that baptismal water when you went in. It identified you with a death. It identified you with your funeral. It's the closest thing you'll know to your funeral. It's when you were baptized. Why'd you go underwater all the way? Because Christ completely died. You completely died to your sins. Sunday had a man, he almost didn't completely die to his sins. If you were in here, I became a Navy SEAL and I went swimming with this gentleman. And my technique was very simple. He went down halfway, put his arm out, I grabbed his arm, I said, buddy, we're going under. Before he could say anything, all my weight, he had a complete death. I didn't have time to explain to him Romans chapter 6 and Acts chapter 8. I didn't have time. I said, buddy, we're going under. And I went under, took a little water on, and I only had God watching me and preacher and you. And I was going to get the guy under the water, though he was twice my weight. Amen. We succeeded. Amen. He had to die. Amen. At least picture it in baptism for him to have a scriptural baptism. Why isn't sprinkling acceptable? There's no death in sprinkling. There's no picture there. No picture. That baptism identifies us with Christ. Colossians 2:12 says, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through faith. The exciting part of baptism is, look, it pictures Christ's resurrection and your new life in Christ. Walk in the newness of life. We should have a new life. Hey, we're a new creature in Christ. And we're bought with a price. All this goes together. It's beautiful. It's the gospel. But be careful. When you came out of that water, now baptism is just symbolic. Has nothing absolutely to do with your salvation. But when you came out of that water, this is symbolic too. You were still flesh. You were still a body. And you kept that old nature. Though you symbolized dying to it with Christ some 1900 years ago, you're still in that old body. You still got to deal with it. Look at verse 6. Knowing this, there's another no. Paul says, know these things. Know these things. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Our old man died with Him, was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You think God deals lightly with sin? He said, destroyed. Destroyed. Guess what? You could never crucify yourself. Why do we have to be crucified in Christ? Why did Paul say, I'm crucified with Christ? You can't crucify yourself. You can try. You might get one stake in one hand. You're not going to get that other stake in the other hand. You cannot crucify yourself. Christ had to do it for you. Now, you can find a lot of ways to kill yourself. You can breathe exhaust fumes. You can take a gun. You can stay out in this heat a couple hours without water. You can find some ways to kill yourself, but you cannot crucify yourself. Thank God the Bible says that our old man is crucified with Him. That gets me excited. I don't have to die. Romans 6:23, you know it, for the wages of sin is death. That's taken care of. It never applies to me anymore. That's exciting. The second part applies to me, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm living the gift. And I'm excited about that. I'm living it for eternity now. My eternal life started. I'll never have to face death. Do you know that? Do you know that your old man was crucified with Christ? When you witness, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That person says anything else but death. They say, oh, I'm praying to get to heaven. Well, I pray every day. They're saying I'm working. They're saying I'm a good person. They're saying I'm keeping the Ten Commandments. I'd like to see that. But the wages of sin is death. You say, is that the same as death? Well, no. Romans 5:8. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That death has been paid for. It's taken place. On Calvary. Now look at one more no with me. Verse number 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. Amen. Death does not control me tonight. Amen. But here's the thing. I'll yield to it. I'll let it. I'll let it creep back. Oh, every day. You will too. We'll yield our members to servants to unrighteousness. And we'll live like that old man still has control in our life. See, only the second part of Romans 6:23 applies to me now. My old man is dead. I need to live like he's dead. I shame God if I don't. Verse 7 says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Believer, tonight you are freed from sin, from ever experiencing the penalty of sin, because Christ already took your penalty of sin. Amen. You're now under grace, not under the law. That law was just a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ so that we could be justified by faith. We're under grace now. Thank God for that. It's as if there was a huge bank account somewhere in the world that had enough money to cover everybody's debt. Can I hear an amen? Yes. Yes. And you know what? Just for the asking, you could have your debt taken away. Now debts, let's just take, I know some debt's okay. Let's just, for this illustration, debt's wrong. It's against God. You keep spending on your debt account. God says, no, don't do that. But it's paid for. You're taking liberty that you shouldn't take. You're spending on an account you shouldn't spend on, though it's paid for. Hey, death has no more dominion over us. So if we know these things, if we know what our baptism symbolized, if we know that our old man is crucified, if we know that death no longer rules your life, why do we want to revive our dead man? Why do we want to live like a dead person? Why do we want to shame the Lord that saved us by following in these acts of sin? Hey, death stinks. There's no beauty in death. Death is awful. Death is something we need to put behind us. When I was about 4 years old, maybe 5 years old, my mom would make me a birthday cake every year. And I think I was probably five, and I had all five candles on it, no problem to get those blown out. And she lit them. My dad was there, my older sister. I think my older sister was behind this. And I made a wish, still hadn't come true, but I made a wish. And you know what? I blew those candles out. That's what you do at a birthday party. And you know what those things did? They came right back. And you know what this tough guy did at age 4 or 5? I cried. I got kind of upset. I thought, my wish is never going to come true. I can't get the candles out. They came back to life over and over and over again. And boy, they were laughing and just cutting up, and I was crying. And I know why that wish never came true. When death comes back, it's not right. It's not natural. You ever killed a snake? A good snake's a dead snake. Take a shovel, go out. Next time you find a garden snake, chop its head off. Watch that tail. That tail will live for a little while. Nerve reflexes, it still has life. That's eerie. That's life after death. That's not right. That's not right. Okay, if you're a fisherman, get a fish in the boat. Cut the head off the fish. What's that fish going to do? That tail's going to still move. When something's dead, it needs to stay dead and not come back to life. You know these things. You know these things. Now follow with me in verse 11. Paul says, reckon. He says, know these things? Know these things? He says, reckon. And he's not asking a question here. You think, reckon? Reckon it'll be warm tomorrow? Probably. He's not asking a question here. His reckon right here is saying, count on it. Count on it. I don't see a question mark at the end of that verse. It says, likewise reckon. Likewise count on it. Ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Count on it. The Bible says it, I believe it. And live by it now. Live by it. So why do we live for a dead cause? Why do we put life back into death? See, if a tree dies, we're foolish to go out to that tree and water it. If you scrape the bark off and there's no green in it, why would you groom the tree? Why would you water it? Why would you put life back into something dead? It's not going to live. It's not going to bring anybody any joy. It's not going to produce fruit. It is dead. Reckon, count on these things to be true. Now finally, wrap this up as an introduction. Look at verse 12 and 13. Here's the answer, Christian. Here's where we're driving to. This is where we're going. Verse number 12, Romans chapter 6. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Listen, neither yield, circle, underline yield, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. There it is. How do you keep from living a dead man? Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We're a servant to something. We're either a servant unto righteousness or to unrighteousness. You're either going to serve the devil, your flesh, the world, or you're going to serve God. There is no in between. Yield here means to present. It's just like in Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present. Yield means to present. Present your members as instruments of righteousness. That's the secret. That's where we're going. That's where Paul was going. He said, you'll live to the old man unless you yield. That's free will. That's what God gives us. To make us souls that obey and bring Him glory. We can yield. You know these things. Reckon them. Count on them. Count on them. And then yield. Now let me give you two things. How to yield your members as servants to righteousness, and I'll be done. Two things. Turn to Romans 13, verse 14. Romans chapter 13, verse number 14. The Bible says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. That's the key, Christian. If you get that verse, you'll leave with something tonight, something very, very powerful. It'll change your life. Change your life tomorrow morning when you wake up. First, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do you do that? I'm a practical person. I put on clothes. I've never seen Christ. How do you put them on? A new Christian, how do you put on something that's 1900 years ago? He's up in heaven. How do you put on Christ? The Bible says, put on Christ. You know, we clothe ourselves every day according to what we want to accomplish. If we play sports, we put on sport attire. If we go to work in an office environment, maybe we have to wear a suit. We mow yards, we put on gear to mow yards in. But we clothe ourselves. Put on Christ. I'm a great proponent of a devotion in the morning. Now, some reason, if I have a devotion at night, it seems like I have the weird dreams and I forget things and I wake up the next morning, I need to get back with God. I know good men that have devotions at night. Go for it. But I can't. I've got to put on Christ in the morning and get a day started off with Christ. Ephesians 4:24 says, and that you put on the new man. There it is, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. How do you do that? I know you're asking that. I am. Every time I read it, put on Christ. What does that mean? Well, you do it through Bible reading. After all, the Word is God. You're looking at Jesus right in front of you. You spend time in the Bible. You meditate on it. You memorize Scripture. You hide God's Word in your heart. Amen. So you won't sin against Him. What else? Prayer and fasting. That's a way you put on Christ. You start your day off in prayer. Listen, I can look back every day of my life. Can't remember them all. Every day I started the day off with God, I was closer to Him, had a better walk, did more for Him. I tell you, it's a direct relationship. If you put on Christ in the morning, put on Christ frequently, your life will change. You won't yield to members of unrighteousness. What about church attendance, service to God? All these things are ways to put on Christ. And you've got to keep them on, by the way. What does Ephesians 6:11 say? Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on, put on. You're either going to conform to your flesh or to Christ each morning. You wake up, Matthew 6:24 is staring at you in the face. No man can serve two masters. You can't do it. What you put on in the morning is going to probably direct your day for the most part. You put on Christ, you're going to live for Christ. You're going to have Christ. You're going to have a great Holy Spirit that I wish we had time to go into in Romans chapter 8 and talk about. Romans chapter 8, the point of the diamond of the New Testament. If the New Testament was a diamond, I've read this in several commentaries, Romans 8 would be the point on the diamond. The Holy Spirit, how can we live in Christ? We can. Christ can through us. That's what it's about. We have to put on Christ. It's about the principle of displacement. You're going to have so much of one thing and only enough room for other. Put on Christ. Put on Christ. Galatians 3:27, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. You say, well, that devil's strong. My flesh is strong. Well, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. And that's a promise. Put on Jesus Christ. Secondly, make not provision for the flesh. You put on Jesus Christ, then make not provision for the flesh. It's right there in the Word of God. Don't make provision. Now you say, oh, what's that provision mean? That's a big word. I guess I need another version of the Bible. That's a very easy word. Don't provide for it. Don't supply it. Don't make its way easy. Die to the thing. Don't provide or supply for it. Starve the flesh. Starve the flesh. Your flesh wants entertainment. Your flesh wakes up in the morning, it wants everything against God. Starve it. Why is fasting so effective? Why is fasting so hard? Our days are centered around breakfast, preparing, and then snack, and then lunch, and then dinner. When we fast, we rob ourselves of all three and then some. If you're like me, it's six or seven meals. A lot of snacks, a lot of bananas and fruit in between. I enjoy eating. You do too. Why is fasting such great discipline, so powerful with God? Because we have to die to the flesh and trust and count on God for strength. It's like in cancer treatment. I'm learning very quickly in cancer treatment, you starve it, you kill it, you take away its food. In the case of my wife, you remove the thyroid so cancer can't grow and spread. You starve it out. You kill it. You eradicate it. You get it out. Make not provision for your flesh. You starve it, next you die to it. Here we're back to Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. It didn't say I was crucified with Christ. That would be past tense, only happened once. No, Paul said I am crucified with Christ. Something happening over and over and over again. He said I die daily. 1 Corinthians 15:31. How was that so? A daily death? Spiritually, yes. You know, I think it would do us good if we had a picture of our baptism on our wall. We do that for bus kids occasionally. I think it's great. You know, if you think about that baptism, you just dwell on it, what it represents. It represents you dying to the old man that was crucified with Christ. And it represents a resurrection in the newness of his life. Starve it. Die to it. Walk not after it. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Don't walk after the flesh. What are your friends like? What are your pastimes like? What are your passions about? Now, I don't have to name a bunch of sins tonight. The Holy Spirit's already done that in your life. What are you yielding to? Paul wraps this up, and look at the end of Romans chapter 6. He gives a great summary of the chapter. Romans chapter 6, verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Why do we do things where the end is death? Let's do things where the end is life. Let's lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and thieves break through and steal. That's what we need to be living for. We're just building up a death account that's already been taken care of. He goes on to say in verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and to end everlasting life. And again, for the wages of sin is death. Already happened. It's been applied to my account. Now I'm living in the second part. But the gift of God, which I'm enjoying, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I choose and I fail to yield my members as servants of righteousness. Start living like you've been given this gift. Quit building your death account. Quit building that account. It's been settled. 1 Peter 2:24 says, we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not. Now, this is where the rubber hits the road. This is all easy to preach. These are short verses, one-syllable words. Real tough scripture. But that old man is strong and powerful. You must put on Christ. And you must make not provision for the flesh. You'll never win the war, and the battle will rage. Today, when I woke up, I hit the snooze button on my clock just as many times as I wanted to. Just the exact number of times. I put on the clothes, the shoes I wanted to. Nobody told me what to do. I called my wife today and told her how many times I loved her. Just the exact number that I wanted to. I cut my prayer time short. Just the amount that I wanted to. Nobody forced me. Nobody grabbed me and twisted my arm. I read my Bible just the exact amount that I wanted to. That I yielded to. I had some adulterous thoughts. Just the amount I wanted to. Oh, guess what? I smoked a cigarette on the way to work. Just the amount of cigarettes I wanted to. Some of you are liking this because you're going over in your mind the things you did today. Listen, I got to work and I bowed on my knees as many times as I wanted to. I told everybody in the office hi just as many times as I wanted to go by and say hi and be a blessing to people. Well, I let my attitude show just as many times as I wanted to. Not any more, not any less. There were no accidents in my life today. No cars hit me. I did the things I wanted to do. I yielded my members exactly how I wanted to do. You say, Cliff, do you do all those things? I looked at as much pornography as I wanted to look at. Just the exact amount that I wanted to. Hey, I went and had a beer after work. Just the right amount. I yielded. Luckily, I put on Christ this morning. You're saying, you do all these things? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I did some of them. I yielded my members to righteousness, and I also yielded my members to unrighteousness. I chose that. Nobody twisted my arm. I tried to put on Christ this morning. It helped so much to get God on my side. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Well, I like the analogy. Get them on the phone early. Don't hang up. Hey, we know how to use phones. We all have them, one in each hand. Get God on the line and put on Christ and keep them on. Keep them on. Live in the newness of life, not in the death. Don't live like you're still under the water. That's death. That doesn't please God. You're not serving God when you do that. You're building up a death account that's already been taken care of. Why do we want to revive our dead man? Hey, your old man was crucified with him. Your old man was crucified. You'll do exactly what you want to do and what you yield your members to. Here's what happens in the Christian life, and I'll end in 5 minutes. It's something I call plateau Christianity. We get saved, and you know what? A great amount of growth takes place, should take place. A great amount of growth took place in my life. I see it in people in this church. You grow, you're in this struggle daily. You've got your new Bible. You're in church 3 times a week. You're starting to get active. And you win the battle. You win a lot of battles. And you grow. And you're doing things. Fruits into righteousness. And you're learning how to die to the old man. But what I found, where a lot of us are at, plateau Christianity. We reach a point and the battle gets too great. We don't put on enough Christ. We don't put on enough armor. We get in the defensive and not the offensive. And we get defeated. And we get discouraged because we don't understand this battle. We give up. We think, well, I'm just never going to be a good enough Christian. You're all right. You're never going to be a good enough Christian, but Christ is. And let Him live in you and through you. Amen. That's why you came out of the water and didn't stay down. Amen. You're right. You're never going to. I'm never going to. But Christ in me. Christ Amen. In me. Plateau Christianity. What battle? Battles. Case of our lives. What battles? You just thrown in the towel and said, you know what? My old man has got me whipped. I can't get over this. I can't get victory in this. You need to put on Christ. You need to put on more Christ. You need to look at your life, what you do, the way you go through your day, and find out how you can put on Christ. And make not provision for the flesh. How long does your day last before you're in a battle? Sometimes not very long. And you're already in a battle with that flesh. If you don't put on Christ, listen, you're not only up against the flesh, you're up against the world, and the world's getting more wicked by the day. You're up against the devil who seeketh to destroy you. You've got all these foes. But hey, remember, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You can do this. Put on the new man, not the old man. What are you going to yield your members to? Servants to righteousness or servants to unrighteousness? Choice is yours. God is there. Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is there. Spend a little time in Romans chapter 8 and get encouraged to help you. Put on Christ. You can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. I talked to one of the counselors at junior camp this year. He said, now junior camp has taken on a senior camp theme. The preaching had to be so powerful and so high level because our junior campers are into sins and things that used to be only our senior campers and adults were into. Junior camp has become senior camp. Senior camp has almost taken on a flavor of salvage camp to try to salvage some teens before the devil destroys their life and their flesh overruns them. And adults, we're not doing too much better. This battle is real. Have you plateaued? Are you going back on the downside again? Put on Christ. Put on Christ. And make not provision for the flesh. Maybe your prayer tonight needs to be, search me, O God, know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Maybe that needs to be your prayer tonight. When you get you won't get mastery. When you understand that you're in a battle, tomorrow you're in a battle, no matter how close you get to God today, no matter how many people you win to Christ, no matter how many scriptures you memorize, maybe whole chapters, tomorrow you're going to be in a battle. And that battle is going to start anew and afresh, and you've got adversaries galore. What are you going to do? What are you going to put on tomorrow? I'm going to put on Christ. Amen. I'm going to put a lot of Christ on. And I found the more Christ I put on, the more Bible, the more prayer, the more fasting, the more I hang around the right people and tune out the wrong people and listen to the right music and tune out the wrong music and get the television away from me and get the pornographic, whatever you call it, away from me. I hate that stuff. It's destroying us. The more I put on Christ, the more victory I have, the more I can yield my members to servants to righteousness and have a victorious life and try to raise a family right. I'll end Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Do you see now? Paul, he let that old man die every day. He didn't make provision for it. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Present and ongoing tense. Nevertheless I live, yet he still lived. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There it is. Christ liveth in me. Paul, let Christ liveth in me. That doesn't happen automatically. You've got to do some things to let Christ live in. You've got to put on Christ. You've got to spend time with Christ. You've got to get to know Christ. You've got to pray over it. And the life which I now live in the flesh, still in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He gave Himself for you, and He's still with you. Have you put them on? How about it? That's where we're at. That's the battle every one of you faces. If you're not in the battle, you need to be saved tonight. Trust Christ. The Holy Spirit will come into you. You'll be quickened. You'll have a new nature, a victorious future, eternal life. If not, you're just in the old nature. And your sins have been paid for on Calvary. Where are you at tonight, Christian? I know where I'm at. I'm in a fight daily. An awful fight, a gruesome fight. The more Christ I put on, the more victory. The more victory. And that is as tried and true as anything in this book. And it will be in your life too. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray you direct now in the invitation. Lord, I don't really know how to pray for it. Lord, you've spoken to my heart for months now on this message.